from Hollywood, California, the horror capital of the world, the Boulay Brothers, Creatures of the Night.
Welcome to the show, everyone, and welcome, Swan Thula, to my podcast. Just kidding, our podcast. I just want to tell you before we get started, I don't want you to look at me unless you do it through the new bold glamour effect on TikTok. So for the whole podcast, I want you and Ian to hold your phone up and put that filter over me, and that's the only way I will go forward for this episode.
Okay, hold on. Give me 1 minute. I'm getting my phone out right now. Okay, bold glamour filter has been activated.
And I'm just warning you, you don't have to be nervous. I definitely plan on using it on both of you as well.
I'm not nervous. I do appreciate your efforts, but I think if you move the camera away or keep it in front, I'll look the same. Bold and glamorous.
So, okay, this stupid thing, we were just talking about it before we started recording. People are going off about this filter. It's like bad for your self-esteem and all these kind of different things. What do you think about that?
I think everything that we expose ourselves to online is bad for our self-esteem. If we really want to be honest about it, like everything.
Why this is special? Like,
buckle up, sweeties. It's all bad. Either put your phone away forever or shut up.
I know. That's what I think too. But I actually don't think it's bad because, like, okay, if you use it and then you screenshot it, you can just take that to your doctor and be like, make me look like this. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to worry about it.
You are a genius.
I know.
You are a genius. Save so much work.
I don't know. Look, it is horrible. Of course, it's bad for your self-esteem, but TikTok is bad for your self-esteem. Instagram is bad for your self-esteem. Mm-hmm. It's all terrible. You should just throw your phone into the river and forget it.
It's psychic warfare. Don't expose yourself to that.
Do you think that there's going to be a time where people are not like, so on their phones all the time? Like,
I don't know. Look, of course, technology is amazing and fun and all the things that we can do with it. But I do think back to a sweeter time that I've read about too, you know, well before us. You were kind of forced to use your imagination more. Mm-hmm. You were invited to interact with people more.
And you just imagined that you look cute even though you did. You didn't need a filter. You just made it up in your head.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you passed a mirror and, you know, it all went downhill from there.
I don't think it's going away anytime soon. That's the truth of it.
Well, Ian has a special name for this filter, but I'm going to wait until he gets in and he could tell everybody what his little name is for the special filter.
Oh, I've heard it, and I can't wait for her to share it with everyone.
Well, enough about this, though. Let's talk about the big news that is now out, mm-hmm. which is we have now announced the secret project that we've been working on, which mm-hmm. is our Boulay Brothers Halfway to Halloween TV special.
It just has such a good ring to it.
It does. I kind of want to talk about it a little bit because I think it's a different kind of project for us. So I'm not sure people quite understand what it is. So I thought we could just talk about it a little. It is premiering on Shudder and AMC Plus on April 25th. So I hope everyone is ready to watch it when it comes out. So let's talk a little bit about it. So this is a scripted variety show starring a bunch of people, actually, a bunch of different stars.
The stars attached, the stars. It's incredible. I mean, absolutely incredible. People from Saturday Night Live, Dune, Scream, The Craft, Dracula, of course, Suicide Squad, Reanimator, Us. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on.
I'm excited because it made me kind of know that we were on the right track with this. You know, I feel like the minute we announced it, the minute we started doing it, people started reaching up like, oh my God, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. And the names that were coming out, I was like, wow, really? I'm like, okay, I'll definitely write a script for you real fast, you know?
Oh, and your writing is so stellar right now.
Thank you.
I have to give it to you, Drac. It's so wrong. It's so twisted and irreverent and disrespectful. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. That's what I aspire to be, all those things. But I think, too, this will be people's first opportunity to see some of our writing and our directing on screen, because we don't always get to do that with the writing we do on Dracula, but it's different because that's unscripted. So the writing, it's a different kind of thing.
Yeah, this is definitely flexing a different set of muscles. And I have to say, it feels so good.
It does.
I mean, the drag and the personas and everything that goes with Dracula and the scripted stuff is fun in a very different way. This is just kind of checks a creative box that nothing else has to date.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
I agree. I mean, this is something we've been working in the background to sort of get these projects off the ground for a while. And so it's very rewarding that it's finally happening. And it's fun. I'm enjoying it. It's a lot of work, but I'm really enjoying it. I like the break from Dragula. Someone was like, oh, is this going to be like all the people from Dragula? I'm like, no. No, but, it is not.
But you will see some familiar faces from Dragula.
Yeah, definitely.
Like a little select array of stars from the Dragula world will be making their appearance on the Boulay Brothers Halfway to Halloween TV special for sure.
Yeah, we've talked about it on the podcast, but just to reiterate, like I love doing the Boulay Brothers Dragula, but there is an emotional price to pay when you do Dragula that it's like, I do not want to do more than one a year for sure. I wouldn't even mind a year and a half. You know, we used to put it out every year and a half, and that was just fine for me because it left us time to work on other things.
Yeah. And also recuperate, because I mean, the truth is like, if we were more callous people, like our characters may project that we are, we wouldn't care as much as we do,
yeah.
But we're creating like a family to go forward and try to blaze trails of success and opportunity for all of these people, not just ourselves. So when they hit snags, like emotionally or how they see themselves on TV or the way that the audience is treating them or mistreating them most of the time, like that carries an emotional and psychic weight for us for sure.
Yeah, I think too, it's weird because a lot of the competitors, it's their first experience in the entertainment industry. And I think that it's kind of a crash course. Like, I think if you're like, hey, I'm going to move to LA, I'm going to be an actor or a writer or whatever. You come here and then you get your ass beat and your dreams crushed and you get ran through, you know, hell. And then if you're still there, if you're still hanging out, then this is the job meant for you. And then maybe it'll get better. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you're coming here and you don't have that experience, it's almost like they have to live that experience through us. And I'm like, let me tell you something. As a production company, we treat our competitors very well, especially compared to other production companies who do similar shows. And so it's always hard because I'm like, this is good. Like, you don't know what you're missing. But anyways, I'm kind of getting off.
Well, you are, but they don't realize it until it's too late. And that's the sad part.
It's hard, right? Especially with social media. And a lot of the people come on the show and then they go on Twitter and they're like, there's hundreds and thousands of people yelling at me about this, that, or the other. And I'm like, that's why you shouldn't be on there, because they don't matter. That's like, you know, 2% of the people that watch the show.
Yeah.
But
that's a conversation that's being had, I think, on multiple fronts right now, just from other reality TV stars, other podcasts, other people that just comment on social movement, that if you get your self-esteem from Twitter, like no one should even be looking at that. Like as a creator, like we need to protect ourselves, because you can let those little demons in and they can start to erode your vision, erode your sense of inspiration. And just especially as queer creators, like we don't have enough outlets to do that, period. So we have to stave off and protect ourselves from that, especially when we're really pushing into new areas in the collective unconscious, like into pop culture.
Yeah. And one of the things that protects you, like let's say like we've been working nonstop, right? Like I'm exhausted. I feel like I have aged 10 years in the past month doing this. But as long as you have that bold glamour filter, it doesn't matter. So when you look in the mirror, don't look in the mirror. Just look at your phone. Let TikTok steal all your DNA and everything. It's fine because it's worth it. It makes you feel great.
Let me assure you, Drac, I'm looking through my phone right now and this glamour filter is in full effect and you look 10 years younger.
Okay, so we talked about that. We talked about the special that's out. Mm-hmm. The tour is obviously coming up. I'm very excited about that. I don't know. I put a couple of teasers out on social media of you getting your face cast for it. I haven't showed any, I'm not going to show any of the props or anything or the set pieces, but I just have to tell people like, you need to come to this tour. You are, your mind's going to be blown. This is not like the last Dragula tour. This Titans tour is all theaters. It's very theatrical. It's seated. It's a different kind of experience. It's definitely presenting our cast and our show in a way that we've never done before.
It's exciting and we never rest, right? We always want to kind of transform, and this is a way for us to take the tour, which was very successful by all measures, hugely successful, the season 4 tour, but we wanted to change it and morph it into something more theatrical. And you know, that's where I live and love to be.
Well, that's where all this is born, right? For us, like on stage, that's where everything started. So
that's right.
Yeah. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, make sure you get your tickets. I think all the VIPs are gone. And the podcasts, I think, are mostly gone. There's, for some of you in the cities that we're doing it, we're doing a live recording of the Boulay Brothers Creatures of the Night, the two of us and Ian, and you can actually come and we're going to record live with the people in the audience.
That's right. And I know Ian's very excited about that too. So am I. And you know what? Write Five Senses, write DragulaLive.com and tell them to open up more tickets for the podcast, because I think the number is limited and they all sold out really quick. And I think we're doing like 6 or 7 stops. So I want like the more the merrier. I want more people in there to party with us.
And I was like, I don't.
It's your fear of intimacy, Drac. We've talked about this. I'm going to tell the therapist that you told this story. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, this podcast will be bold and glamorous. Hello, lovers. It's Swan Thula Boulay here, and I've got some very exciting news for you. The Boulay Brothers Dragula Titans Tour is set to terrorize the US, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, and tickets for the show are now available at DragulaLive.com. As many of you know, Drac and I are infamous for throwing some of the best parties in the world, and this drag show is going to be no exception. So if you love drag that's dark and disturbed, and prefer punk rock over pretty and pink, this is it. Join the Boulay Brothers, Victoria Black, Coco Kane, Hoso Teratoma, Eva Destruction, and all of the stars of the Boulay Brothers Dragula Titans for the filthiest and most fabulous drag show on earth. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, darlings, so get your tickets now with VIP upgrades at DragulaLive.com. Do it now, before it's too late.
Ian, welcome to the show. But before we get started, I think it's time for you to tell all of us your feelings about the bold glamour filter and what you have named it.
Oh, wait, that's why she looks so fucked up. Let me get my phone. Okay, you look a lot better.
Oh,
now.
Thank
okay,
God.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was really scared. I didn't see the phone. I was like, oh, my God, they're going to see me. Oh,
got my phone.
God.
Got my phone. Okay, now you can talk.
Oh, thank you. Well, on the positive side, I think people should be able to do whatever the hell they want. I think that if you want to put the bold and glamorous filter on, do it, diva. If you want to arch your eyebrows and look crazy, or you want to have no eyebrows, whatever makes you feel bold and glamorous.
Are you coming for me right now with that comment?
Oh!
Because these eyebrows are gone. these eyebrows are deceased weeks ago.
And you are looking bold and glamorous, diva.
I know.
Yeah, so, you know, like, if it makes you feel bold and glamorous to use the bold and glamorous filter, by all means, do it. Me personally, though, when I see myself with it, I get really scared and grossed out. Like, listen, divas, like, I have spent an entire lifetime trying to break down the shit where I'm like, I'm ugly, to be like, oh, my pussy pops severely. So when I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, oh, I love that person. And then when I look at the bold and glamour filter, I'm like, who the hell this bitch?
Yeah, no, you look at the filter and your face is normally beautiful, I'm sure, like mine. But when you look at it through the bold and glamorous filter, you look pussed and plumped and prepped and ready.
It's like death becomes her when you get the shot. It's just a little bit of...
Well, here's the tea. It's like... I think that maybe, like, the bold and glamour filter just isn't for me. Because I think that what it does is, like, you get the buccal fat removed, you get your eyebrows arched. I'm like, listen, ladies, cheekbones snatched, eyebrows arched already. So it's like, it does it. I'm like, oh, we are serving, like, glamour, honey. Yeah.
She's pussed, she's plumped, she's ready.
Always. Which I think maybe brings us to my name for the filter. You know, we all may know it as the bold and glamorous filter, or bold and glamour, but I refer to it as the pussy face filter.
Yes!
Because one of the other things...
Ian said that, I was like, yes, I'm going to get pussy face. Let's do it.
Okay, like when I looked at the first time, I'm like, okay, yes, eyebrows, cheeks, yes. But it also gives you this little meow, 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 pussy pout, honey. Yes.
I couldn't figure it out when I put it on you. And I was like, well, remember, I was like, come behind me. And I was like, what is it doing to you?
Yeah.
I feel like it darkened your eyebrows.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it gave you like an upper brow lift a little bit.
A little bit. But I already know. And like, you know, I've looked at myself in the mirror because, hi, I live with myself. And I know like my face is asymmetrical. Like one of my eyebrows is really like higher arched than the other. And so I think this one sort of like gave them both a little bit and like evened them out a little skin smoothing, a little everything. I mean, it's a subtle bold and glamour.
Yeah. Especially on you. Like, let's be honest. I'm going to give you a compliment right now. Your cheekbones are already severe.
Thank you.
In a great way.
Thank you. Very gorgeous.
The pussy glamour cunt filter doesn't really have a lot of work to do on your cheekbone area. So good for you.
I mean, is it buccal fat or you call it buccal?
Oh, buccal. I thought it was buccal fat.
It was buccal fat. If you can't get that done.
Then use the filter.
You can use Ozempic. And that'll also...
Oh my God. Thank you for unleashing the, like,
what you've been talking about. All you talk about
team, my entire team is obsessed with Ozempic.
I feel like I have been cursed, like some sort of like Asian horror, like cursed videotape. Like someone mentioned Ozempic to me like a month ago, and it's I literally dreamt about it the other night. Like not getting it, but just everyone in my dreams would be like, Ozempic. Ozempic.
Oh my God.
I want to get the Ozempic hat really bad.
You don't need Ozempic, Ian.
I don't.
What is it?
Hold on, let's.
Buckle fat removal.
Buckle fat.
Buckle fat.
Buckle fat.
Thank you, howtosay.com from YouTube.
Okay.
That's howtosay.com.
Not Bukel. The Bukel.
The bushel fat.
Yes. Bukel fat removal.
The Bukel residence. The lady, of the house.
I love it.
The pussy face of the house speaking.
I'm like, get your buckle fat removed. Inject it with Ozempic. Put a filter over yourself.
Oh, hell yeah. Get your BBL done.
But do it all. But do it bold and do it glamorous.
Do it bold and glamorous, darling. I guess all that stuff's horrible for you. It'll probably kill you or something. I don't know. But
eventually,
everything kills you. So what difference?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hi. Like, everyone
we
gets to live forever.
Mama, like, just mainline the botulism directly into my pussy face veins.
Okay.
That's what Botox is.
Where are we?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I have a question. Would you rather live to be 100 and just have like a whatever kind of, you know, whatever life, I don't know. Or would you rather live to be like 55 and be like super, no medical problems, super hot, fierce, have a great time, whatever it is you want, whatever that means to you, you get that, but you die at 55.
I'm gonna ask the genie for more information because I feel
always can't just answer the question.
Because
everybody knows you can't fuck with the genie like that. You have to ask questions.
Okay, like
that's why they are like, peace. I'm gonna ask your neighbor.
Drac the genie. Everybody knows you have to ask more questions.
And I would just float on my cloud next door. I'd be like, you're asking too many questions and you're gonna make this not fun.
They're like, too late, next.
How am I supposed to trick you if you ask all these questions?
Exactly.
Okay, so what's the question?
Okay, so if I live to be 100, like you're saying, like, okay, it's like a whatever life. I mean, is it a whatever or is it like, this is like V sad, V depressing, like it sucked to be 100? Because I definitely don't want that. I don't think I want to die at 55, but I'm sorry, and I'll just say this here. If I ever get to that point, I'm like, ladies, take me out Old Yeller style. It ain't worth it. I don't want it.
Like, you would just age regularly. You would, like, dumpier as time goes.
Oh, my God. Got it.
It's a gamble, right? There's no guarantee. So the answer to the question is there is no answer. Like, just like life that everybody lives, you know you would exist till 100. It's given the ups and the downs of a, air quotes, normal life. In Drax genie terms, a basic bitch, progressively dumpier life.
Oh my God.
Girl, blame it on the edit.
You said it.
I don't know. I guess I'm very torn down the middle on this one. I'm split in two. Like, a part of me is like, I don't fear aging. Like, I'm like, make me like a fabulous old crone. Like, I'm like, I'm ready to be the granny hag from hell. But if I knew that it was like on your 55th birthday, you too shall die, I'd be like, okay, girl, I'm gonna live it. Like, girl, my 54th year, get fucking ready. She's gonna be wild.
This is the whole lesson, right? It's all about your perspective. So if you live to be 100.
Wait, Drac Genie is now becoming Drac Sage form.
Sage,
go on.
That's right.
She's almost at her final form.
It's all about your headspace, right? You can live to be 100 and have a fabulous life no matter what and still do all those things. Or you could live every day like it's your 54th birthday.
Wow.
Ooh, bitch. You're so burnt. Like, you didn't think of that, and you needed Drac the Sage to let you know. So all of our listeners know now, live every day like it's the last day of your 54th birthday. And on 55, you die.
Oh, my God. I love you hit us with the Shao Kahn voice. Yes.
All right, so on that note, I think we've spoken way too much time about all this. Ian, what is the news?
Hello, Junior Mints. Scary night, isn't it? With the Hollywood horror news and all, it's like right out of an episode of Creatures of the Night or something. Do you like scary movies, diva? Well, this news update is for all the sickening cinephiles and wannabe inductees to the cult of horror in Hollywood who are ready to take a stab at surviving long enough for the sequel. Yes!
Bitch, that was good.
Thank you.
So here for that.
And speaking of sequels and The Dearly Departed, reports have been circulating that newly minted Scream Queen Jenna Ortega is in final talks to play the daughter of Lydia Deetz in the long-awaited sequel to Tim Burton's horror comedy classique Beetlejuice. Ms. Ortega didn't stop there, though, with Netflix officially announcing the return to Nevermore Academy, with Wednesday season 2 officially confirmed.
I hope they don't burn her out. Like, she's cute and I like know. Her, but if I see her in everything, she's going to be annoying really
okay,
fast.
Okay, that was my concern. Okay. I'm like, maybe it's just me. I can be moody sometimes, but I'm already like, you need to back it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm,
you need
I'm
to
with
back
you.
It up a little bit. You're coming in a little too hard and fast for my taste.
Yeah, I don't have anything against Jenna Ortega. Like, I generally like Jenna Ortega, I guess, but and not high. Not that everyone's in direct competition, but I kind of prefer the way that, like, you know, other newly minted Scream Queen Mia Goth is doing. Like, I feel like Mia Goth is like
not
sort
to
of effortless.
Not to put them in competition with each other, which I'm just gonna do real quick.
Exactly. Yes. I kind of prefer the way that her team. I mean, because high. Like, let's be real. It ain't Jenna Ortega being like, "All right, ladies, here I'm gonna mastermind my career moves myself." Like, I just kind of prefer the way that other stars are doing. Like, I feel like with Jenna Ortega, it is a little like it's too much. Like, just slow down.
I saw her at the Pasadena Flea Market Rose Bowl, and she walked right past Mia Goth and just pushed her out of the way.
It's true. I saw it too.
Yeah.
And then she spit on her.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Then she pulled her hair.
And this is the news, so you know it's real.
I really did see Katya there out of drag, for real. I don't know why I said that, but I did.
We saw her in the cemetery too when we watched Carrie.
Well, I run into her everywhere. Isn't it weird? We run into her like everywhere.
Yeah, we went to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery to the Synespia viewing of Carrie like last summer, and her blanket was right next to ours. And I started texting her and I was like, "Oh, here with your boyfriend." I'll do my screen voice.
Yes.
"Here with your boyfriend, Katya." "Oh, brought your own snacks. How convenient." And she's like looking around. She's like, "Well, oh my God, you twisted bitch. Like, are you watching me?" I'm like, "I'm literally right next to you." True story. It was awesome.
I'm really glad you clarified. We were at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery with the Synespia viewing because you're just like, "Yeah." And then we saw her at the cemetery. We were watching Carrie. I was like, "Wait, what?"
We were like on our iPad, just laying in the grass watching Carrie.
Diving deeper into the murky waters of sequels, prequels, requels, and unofficial spinoffs, the success of Cocaine Bear has spawned numerous other drug-fueled animal rampages such as Attack of the Meth Gator and, now debuted with an official trailer, Cocaine Shark. While Crack Dolphin is sadly not related to Elizabeth Banks' masterpiece, the director has previously expressed interest in adapting the news item of police finding 3.5 tons of sweet, sweet yayo floating in the Pacific Ocean last year.
What about sloth?
Meth Gator's on Grindr right now.
I hooked up with both Meth Gator and Weed Sloth and
Crack Dolphin when we were in Miami.
Oh, absolutely.
I remember her.
And Ozempic Bear.
Yeah, I read somewhere that they were like, why did they not trademark all these animals with drugs when they made Cocaine Bear? Because they're like, duh, you know, but maybe they just didn't think it was going to take off the way it did.
I don't know. Or maybe it's that Cocaine Bear is actually awesome. And I feel like these other ones are like low budget, like Sharknado ripoffs. I mean, no offense if you like Sharknado and those, but I mean, these feel
exactly that.
Cheap. Do you think people will see that? Or do you think they'll get confused and be like, oh, it must be like Cocaine Bear?
I don't know. I feel like there's definitely an audience for those. Like, people love the Sharknado movies. I think it's sort of fun to watch movies that are not great.
Yeah.
Rounding out our nightmarish return to the cabin in the woods is the recent release of the official trailer for, drumroll please, Yellowjackets Season 2! Ladies, what did you think?
It was fun to see the trailer. I was excited to see it. I didn't see a lot of, like, spoilery. Like, I kept thinking I was going to see something like the blonde girl come back to life, but she didn't.
Oh my God.
And, well, I mean, not to say that won't happen.
Hey, keep the dream alive, Drac. Keep the dream alive.
Reminded me how much I hate Shauna. That was fun.
Shauna, my girl.
What did you think?
It was exciting to see the world of Yellowjackets again. Like, I don't even care. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, there's Christina Ricci. Yes, Lottie. Oh my God, Antler Shadows. Like, I'm fully on board. Like, I loved it. I need a rewatch. I want to rewatch the whole first season and kind of prep myself psychically for the second season. I remember just loving season one.
All right, Ian. Well, thank you for those updates. Now it's time to move on to this episode's creature feature movie review. And for this episode, we're reviewing Scream 6, directed by Matt Bettinelli-Ulpin. So let's start off with seeing, like, what did you all think about this in terms of how it stands up to other films in the franchise?
I will go ahead and say this. Like, Scream is a franchise that I respect. It's not my go-to franchise, but I felt like Scream 6 is an objectively bad movie with some really killer set pieces.
I like the Scream world. I usually scream and I usually have a lot of fun. Like, it's definitely a junior mints outing. Like, mm-hmm. I jump, I get scared. I jumped at this one too. Hi, everybody knows I'm very jumpy. But I kind of felt like this was a little bit of a fever dream of like repurposed stories and characters and everything. And she's like overstayed her welcome. Like, the roots were there of the original franchise, but I think, you know, has the gag of being a whip smart, hyper self-aware horror movie worn off? And for me, it definitely had.
I'll say, I mean, in a general sense, I don't think it stood up to the other films, especially the last one, Scream 5. I felt like Scream 5 sort of reinvigorated everything. And I just felt like this was almost like, you know, like it was almost like a deleted scene, or it was like, why did we do this? Mm-hmm. You know? So are you all invested in these new characters and also like who the killers turned out to be?
That would be a no. Although I do appreciate their attempts to like create things like the core four and some of these reoccurring characters to sort of create new, lovable, consistent characters in the franchise. I get it. I respect it, but I'm not invested.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that my favorite character in the movie is Gale. And hi, Gale is one of the original characters. And the second that Gale appeared, I was like, oh my God. And I didn't feel that sense of, oh my God, there they are with anyone else.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of like Jenna Ortega? Like, what do you think of those characters? They're new. Like, are they, obviously they're trying to like, let's make a new Sydney or a new, like, is it working or no?
I like the Carpenter sisters. I kind of enjoy them. I don't know if we are setting ourselves up for like legacy characters that we love to see over and over. There is something kind of seductive about them being like the daughters of a serial killer. Like, I do love that. That might be like one of my favorite things about Scream 5 and 6. Like, when we see Skeet Ulrich in the reflection, like Billy Loomis's ghost is like literally just there preying on her weak mind. Like, that's my favorite thing about Screams 5 and 6, aka 5 Cream and now 6 Cream.
Yeah, I agree. I think that in terms of protagonists, they're not offensive. They're not bad. And I do root for them. So, you know, hi, those are all great things. Do I really care what happens to them? Not really, which I think it's kind of, I think maybe one of the faults is like you have the core four and that's great, but none of them really rise to the front of the pack. Even our leads, I'm kind of like, okay, cool. I like that they're here, but I'm not necessarily like, if they died in the movie, I'd be like, meh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that with the killers too. Like, I think that was one of the fun things about Scream is like, who's the killer? And so, like, you know, it was like Scream 2, I think, where it's like, oh my God, it's Jackie from Roseanne. You know, and you're like, I don't know, that was fun. And it's always fun to see who the reveal is. And this time I was like, who cares? I mean, that's how I felt. I wasn't invested. I didn't really care. I was like, that's the killer. Okay. Is that supposed to get a reaction out of me? Because it doesn't.
Exactly the same. I felt exactly the same.
I agree. Although I will say, and this is sort of, I think we'll get to this, like the biggest strength for me is, like I said, personally, I don't think the movie is very good, but it does have great set pieces. Like, there are moments that I'm like, ah, I love this moment. Like, when it's revealed that there are two ghost faces and they do the double knife wipe, I was like, oh my God, yay! And then when they like revealed, I was like, oh my God, it's going to be Matthew Lillard. It's going to be Matthew Lillard. And then it was the sister. It was the person. I was like, oh. Okay.
Yeah. Aww. Aww. Cue Sigourney wine. Aww.
One of the things that drove me crazy about this, and they do this in other Screams, but they really laid into it in this one, is that if your character is going to die, you get stabbed immediately in the head and the chest somewhere. But if you're like, if you're one of the main characters, you're getting stabbed in the stomach or the shoulder exclusively, and you're definitely not going to die. And let me tell you something. You can get stabbed in the stomach 10 times in the same movie. You don't die. I don't know why, but that's what, I mean, and by the way, if you got stabbed in your stomach in real life, you would die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's all I got to say.
Did it drive you, did you notice that? Like, it was like, Gale, oh, in the shoulder, oh, you in the stomach.
Okay, but
like,
well, I'm going to take this conversation a little hard turn to the left, because Gale Weathers was giving.
Yes.
I mean, she was giving. Courtney, I mean, this is a lady of a certain age who was fighting off Ghostface after he kills her smoking hot like lover in the other room. And she's like on her back from a prone position, fighting him off with a slap, like blade in the middle of the air, like she's some kind of superhero ninja and like lives. It's crazy. Yeah.
Two things. One about Gail, like honestly, best badass bitch moment is she's on the phone. She's like, hold on. Hangs up, calls Ghostface. I'm like, oh my God, the only person in the entire universe who's ever done that shoots the closet. I was like, okay, that's a win.
That is a win. You literally hear like,
yeah. But you know, to answer your question, Drac, that's the one thing that actually like made me annoyed to a point where I was like, this is actually not good, is when Jasmine Savoy Brown's character gets, I mean, gutted in the subway. And then literally hours later is like running to the ambulance. I'm like, No, she's not. No, she is not running to the ambulance.
Because not only did she get stabbed, it was like twist.
You're right. Oh my God.
Twist. And
right.
I was like, that's it. It's over for her. But no, she's like, not only did I use my Wolverine super healing powers to heal, but I'm up running around already and I'm ready to fight. I'm like, sit down. That was sort of weird. I mean, I don't know. Overall, I wonder what this means for the future of the franchise, because it was very successful. It had a great box office opening. I don't know what happens with movies like that if they're like, they make a lot of money, but they're not well received. Do you think it's going to continue? What do you think?
It will carry on. We just had Scream 5 and it was really good. And I think it breathed life back into something that we hadn't seen for years. And I think it excited the fan base. Maybe Scream 6 is a little bit of a miss in comparison. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a Scream 7. I mean, the ending really set us up for that.
Yeah, I think I read that they're already in production for Scream 7. Yeah. It's happening.
I kind of love Sam Carpenter, like Melissa Barrera's character. Like, I know she's not as celebrated as her sister. Like, Jenna Ortega is having, like, such a moment, like we talked about earlier. But I like her face. I like her beauty. I like the position that she holds as, like, elder daughter of Billy Loomis. Like, it's like the legacy. I want to see her crossover, and I would actually love to see them both. Because you get a little, both her and her sister cross over into like serial killer mode.
I actually think that in Scream 7, we could potentially see our, for the first time, because that's, I feel like at this stage, that's what the Scream franchise is all about, is subverting the rules of the sequel. They do it every time now. So I'm like, okay, cool. Do I think that Sam or Jenna Ortega's character is going to be Ghostface in the next one secretly? Yeah, kind of.
I would really love that.
It would be cute.
Okay, so it sounds like maybe we're giving this like a C. It's kind of run of the mill, right?
Very middle of the road. I would watch it if horror fans should see it just to say you did. I'm not running out to watch it a second time, that's for sure. I do want to say, though, my favorite thing about it was the logo treatment where the M became the Roman numeral 6, because that was cute. Like, I'm here for a clever detail like that.
All right, well, Scream 6 is still in theater, so you can go watch it there. And when we come back from the break, we're going to dig into your listener questions. So stay tuned.
Hello, uglies. It's that special time of year again, so visit BouletBrothersDracula.com for brand new merch from the wicked world of the Boulet Brothers. T-shirts, keychains, stickers, vinyl copies of the Boulet Brothers' debut EP, Time to Die, and a brand new shipment of exclusive merch has just become available at BouletBrothersDracula.com. So if you consider yourself a member of the Dracula Coven and truly practice the dark arts, spend all of your nether coins at BouletBrothersDracula.com. Do it now or die.
Welcome back, Ian. Will you do the honors?
Sydney, it's an honor. Sam from Melbourne writes, I'm so excited to meet you all and the fabulous Titans cast members when you're in the land down under this year. I know you've performed here before, so I was just wondering if there's anything we have here in Australia that you really want to do this time or anything you'd love to take the cast to. I could totally see Draken Swan posing on the top of the Sydney Harbour Bridge and Ian cuddling a koala.
Well, the koala, she has the word bear in her name, so I think that's definitely going to be happening for Ian down under. I think our last stop was such a whirlwind in Australia. I think that was when we really cut our teeth on the continent and learned that there's no such thing as like traveling on the road. Like, you just fly to every city. So it becomes a blur of airport, fabulous hotel, on stage, great crowd, airport, fabulous hotel, on stage, great crowd, and then you're gone.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't been to New Zealand before, and we are going to be this time. So I'm interested to see that and just sort of experience what it's like there.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's all these beautiful sights to see, and I'm sure Ian will want to pretend to be a wizard or a hobbit or something.
Oh, I would do that. I would do that too.
Oh, yeah.
No, we're in for some sort of hobbit adventure, yeah. I'm sure.
100%.
100%. I want to make it clear that I'm also looking forward to returning to all the beautiful specimens that Australia has to offer, because when I tell you the land is just packed with hot people, I mean it. Gorgeous.
IA asks, would you ever consider doing in-person live auditions? I think it would be cool and helpful to many ghouls if you held a casting call at like a tour stop in every city or something.
Well, that would be difficult to do for multiple reasons. Because first of all, what do? You have to pay for that somehow. So what are you going to do? A tour and do a ticketed event, and then people are paying to come and see people audition? I don't think that would work. So there's a lot of reasons why it would work too. I also think the whole point is to see how people are on screen. Like, I can see tons of live performers that I think are incredible, and I'll put them in front of a camera and they fall apart or they're awkward. So live auditions really don't work. We need to see what you, even if you do it with your phone, you don't have to do a huge production. We just need to see how you act when there's a camera staring you in the face.
It does change the nature of everybody. We did do a party called Dragula World in Los Angeles that coincided with a big convention here. And as Astrid will let you know, she won Dragula World years before she was cast on the show. And Dragula World really kind of clapped back to the origin of the television show, which is a competition that we would do all over LA. We did them in San Francisco, in Austin, in Brooklyn. And they were fun when we did them. But I agree with Drac. I don't know that they would be able to be staged today.
Kayla from North Carolina writes, will you please, please, please come to North Carolina on your next tour, or at least a little closer to here? Would love to be able to see your live performances.
You know, I wish we could go to every city and state, but it's just not our call. You have to tag the tour company. If you want the Dragula tour to come to your city, you have to tag Obsessed International and tell them and get your friends to do it too. And if there's a big enough demand, then I'm sure it'll happen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. And if you want us to answer your questions live on the podcast, please email us at creatures@BouletBrothersDragula.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and spread the word about the podcast wherever you see fit.
Until next time, ugly. The Boulet Brothers Creatures of the Night is hosted by the Boulet Brothers with their co-host and producer, Ian DeVogler. Engineered and mixed by Carlos Bueno, with music by Neuron Spectre.